Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And if you can find verse 15, please, I want to use this as the basis of my message this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Let me just read that text again. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Last Sunday morning, we talked for a time about the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus. And then in the evening time, we talked about the little maid who gave some good advice. So we were thinking about little things last Lord's Day morning. And I want to continue on with that same thought this morning. And I want to draw your attention to the little foxes mentioned here in our text. Take up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now in this text before us this morning, Christ is speaking to his bride. And we all know that his bride is the church. It's always good to hear a word from the Lord. It's always good to hear a word from Christ when we congregate in his house. And in reading our text, which speaks of vines and grapes and foxes, we may conclude that the Holy Spirit is using these symbols to draw our attention to some particular spiritual matter. And I believe that is the case. I believe that the Lord has a word in season for us as we congregate here today in the house of God. Now, at the time these words were written, vineyards had protective walls. And the purpose of those walls was to keep the animals out that would harm the grapes. Now, the little foxes mentioned here in our text wrought havoc in the ancient vineyards. If the vineyards were not closely watched as the fruit came on, these animals would destroy the fruit of the vine. They didn't do any harm to the vine itself. They were just there for the grapes. They were there for the fruit. I call to mind something that Spurgeon said. A little thorn may cause much suffering. A little cloud may hide the sun. Little foxes spoil the vines. And little sins do mischief to the tender heart. He also added, a great sin cannot destroy a Christian, but a little sin can make him miserable. So the message this morning is very simple. Beware of the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now I have three things that I want to highlight from this text before us this morning. First of all, there is what I've called the significant description that is employed. Take up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now the vine in Scripture is often employed as a symbol of spiritual truth. For example, the vine and its fruit represent Christ and the fruit that he brings forth in the lives of his children. For example, in John chapter 15, verse 5, he likens himself to the vine. He said, I am the vine. And he says, ye are the branches. So he likens himself to the vine, and he tells us that the people of God are the branches. And this is a wonderful picture of our union with Jesus Christ. We live in him. We are complete in him. He's everything that we need. We are in union with God through Christ, through faith in the dear Son of God. And it is clear that through this union, they bring forth fruit. Now, when you read through John 15, when Christ speaks there of abiding in him, he is referring to that union that exists between him and his people. And that is the guarantee that the fruit and the graces of the Spirit will be brought forth by him through his people. So this is a wonderful thought, that we draw our strength from him in union with him. All that we need to live an all-victorious, successful Christian life is in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. Without him, he says, we can do nothing. So everything that we need we have in the dear Son of God. We are the branches in the vine, and we draw strength from him day by day. We could never succeed in the Christian life without his enabling, without his power, without his grace. So he says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He said this in connection with the institution of the Lord's Supper, when he employed the bread and the wine as symbols of a sacrifice on Calvary. I always like to get people to the cross during the course of the message. I like to get them to focus for a time upon Christ and his work on Calvary. It's got to be the central part of the message. Getting men to the cross. Getting men to the dear Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now the vine and its fruit represents the gospel message of the fruit of Christ's atoning work. And this is clearly seen even in the Old Testament in a familiar story known to even the smallest child here in the house of God. It's the story that we read of there in Genesis chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. It's the dream that the butler had concerning the vine. And he dreamed of presenting the grapes to the king. And even in that, there was a revelation of the message of salvation. Way back then, the Lord was preaching the gospel to his ancient people through different happenings, through different things, through different stories. The vine represents Christ. The crushed grapes remind us of the fruit of his suffering, his precious blood, symbolized by the juice of the grape by which the King of Heaven was satisfied. Remember, when the prisoner was released, he went into the presence of the king he had offended, and he took with him the crushed grapes that made the wine, typical of the shed blood of Christ. And he took that into the presence of Pharaoh the king, and he found acceptance, and he was restored to his original position. The three branches in the story represent 3 days, pointing us again to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in the Old Testament. The cross is in the Old Testament. The sacrifice of the lambs in the Old Testament. The blood of the lamb is in the Old Testament. The resurrection of Christ is in the Old Testament. The gospel is in the Old Testament. These 3 days symbolize the resurrection of Christ, which assures that sinners will live and serve the King. So we have this wonderful picture in the Old Testament. What a significant description we have here before us in this 15th verse of Song of Solomon chapter 2. Moreover, the vine and its fruit portrays the church. God's people and their service in the world is represented in the Old Testament. I think, for example, of Psalm 80, verses 8 through 11. The Old Testament church is described as a vine out of Egypt. The Lord had delivered his ancient people by blood. He had saved them from their bondage and their slavery. This is a wonderful type of redemption through Christ. And the deliverance that every child of God experiences through grace, through faith in the atoning blood of the Lamb of God, through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, our wonderful Redeemer, he saves us from the bondage of sin by his blood and by his matchless grace. Thus we may correctly conclude that the vine not only represents the Old Testament people of God, but it represents the church of God today. In Matthew 21, verse 33, the church is also compared to a vineyard. The vineyard hedged about. And thank God the Lord has hedged us about with his grace and his mercy. He provides us with protection. He provides us with all the grace that we need to be fruit bearers in the vineyard of the Lord. And this is what he expects to see produced in the lives of his people, the fruit of the Spirit. So hence, when we read the scriptures, it makes it clear that the vine and the branches and its fruits have various meanings and applications in scripture. They present Christ and the gospel and the church and the spiritual fruit that Christ brings forth in the lives and hearts of his people. That's why there is a church on earth today, to glorify God, to manifest grace to a sinful, dying world. We represent the great King and head of the church on the earth. We live for him. We glorify him by the way we live, that others may see something of the beauty of Christ in us. And when we produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then people will sit up and take note that we've been to Jesus. That was one of the things that the people in the book of Acts saw in the hearts and lives of the apostles when they were being persecuted. They recognized that they'd been with Jesus. They saw something of his beauty, something of his glory, something of his grace, something that set them apart. And we as the people of God need to be in that place where God can use us, living separated lives unto him, so that others will see something of the beauty of Christ in us. Yea, he is altogether lovely. And when people can see the loveliness of Christ in us, then it's bound to have a profound impact upon them. And we should be striving to that end. More love to thee, more love to thee. Draw us, and we shall run after thee. We want to be more heavenly minded, not earthly minded. We want to be more like Christ rather than being like the world. And today the sad and tragic thing is the world has crept into the church, with the result that the church no longer is distinct. There doesn't seem to be that difference these days. The Lord's will is for us, his people, to be a vineyard hedged about, protected, to be different from the world, that others may see something of the beauty of Christ in us. There is this significant description that's employed. But then when you continue reading the text, there is the serious danger that is exposed. Take us, the little foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now the text speaks here of the foxes, and clearly uses the term in reference to the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of the people of God, the enemies of the truth of God. Now what does the Spirit mean by describing the enemies of Christ and his people by the symbol of foxes that spoil the vines, which inflict damage upon Christ's cause and his people? There's got to be a reason for this. There's got to be an explanation for this. Now the word foxes in the Hebrew may also include the jackal, which abounded in Palestine and were the animals caught in great numbers by Samson in Judges chapter 15 verse 4. Now they were especially destructive of the various fruit crops, and in particular the grapes. They loved the grapes. And they would come in and they would destroy the grapes, especially when they were beginning to come to fruition. Now the big foxes go after fruit on the vine. The little ones break the tender branches. The big foxes do damage, and you may still have a chance to bear some fruit, but the damage done by the little foxes to the tender vines could result in not being able to bear fruit any longer. It could be completely destructive. Now, when you trace that word foxes throughout the Bible, you'll find, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 4, that they represent false prophets. The Lord said, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. They also present those who persecute the children of God and the church of Jesus Christ. I think, for example, of Luke chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, where Christ branded Herod as that old fox. This is seen in the context of his persecuting intentions against the church of Jesus Christ. Herod was set on spoiling the vines, as was his whole family. They were all imbued with that persecuting spirit. Remember Herod the Great. He was the one who slew the children of Bethlehem. The son Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. The grandson Herod Agrippa the First, who killed James and was eaten of worms. All of these leaders, members of this family, persecuted the children of God, the church of God. So Christ was right when he described Herod as that old fox, because Herod was a persecutor of Christ, and the cause of Christ and his family did the very same thing. They were an evil line and were foxes because of their opposition to the Lord. Now in Luke chapter 13 verse 34, Christ contrasts himself with a fox by using the figure of a hen, gathering as a brood his children under the safety of his wings. That's a wonderful picture. And thank God we're just like the chicks, and Christ is the hen, and we are sheltered by his care and his love and his protection. We're in him, you see. We're loved by him from eternity. He loved us so much that he came on a mission to redeem us. And thank God when he came to the cross, he had us upon his mind, upon his thoughts when he prayed, Father, forgive them. When he accomplished the great work of redemption, when the blood flowed from his wounds, we were upon his heart. And when he cried, it is finished, all the doing was done. He completed the work, perfect work, offered by a perfect sacrifice, to accomplish a perfect plan, to provide a people with a perfect salvation. That comes to us freely by grace. Can't be merited, can't be purchased. It's freely bestowed. It's not because who I am or what I've done or what I may accomplish in life. It comes because of Christ, what he did, what he accomplished, what he did for me on the cross, when he took my place, when he took my judgment, when he suffered my hell and my condemnation. And it comes to me freely. And I am the possessor of eternal life today because of grace. I'm in him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's everything I need. And I survive in him. And one day I hope to see him in glory and be with him because he took my place. So there is this contrast between the persecuting fox and the loving, tender hen, the one who takes his people under his wings and safeguards them and brings them to this place of protection. So Scripture uses this term of the fox to describe evil men who set themselves against the Lord and against his Son. It's an apt description of apostates and enemies of the gospel. And we have many apostates around us today, many enemies of the gospel, who are out to destroy the church of Christ, who are out to destroy the people of God, who are out to hold sinners in their snare, refusing to let them go, to have an influence over them, filling their minds with error, never bringing the gospel message to remedy the situation, to bring warmth to their hearts, to bring forgiveness to their souls. They're out to destroy. That's what's happening today. The fox is notorious for its cunning. And warnings in Scripture are given about evil men, and they have many devices, crafty methods they use, and the crafty ways they go about things to deceive people. Foxes are also hurtful creatures. As they seize their prey and rend their victims, they rend them asunder. They show no mercy, they show no compassion. And the enemies of the gospel are men without mercy. And in their teaching they're cruel, and that they deprive the soul, they deceive the mind, and they speak damnable heresies, and they teach pernicious doctrines, and subvert their hearers, and overthrow faith. And we have many of these so-called TV evangelists today, and the people sit in their living rooms watching these shows. That's what they are, shows on TV, taking it all in, sending their money to support these causes. And they report all these so-called miraculous healings and this and that and the other thing, and people are deceived and they never get to church to hear the truth. And these crafty men are drawing the finances from these unsuspecting people so they might buy their big jets to fly all over the world, to have their fancy homes, they have their book contracts, and they seem to be bringing out books on a regular basis, but no gospel truth, nothing to change the heart. They never get men to the cross. They never tell them they're sinners in the sight of God. Don't disturb people by preaching the gospel to them. Don't tell them they're sinners. Don't tell them there's a day of judgment coming. And when they come to church, they don't want to hear that. Just tell them something they want to hear. Something that will tickle the ear for a time. Don't tell them the truth. Don't preach the gospel to them. It would offend them. If you want to be successful, don't tell them these things. And that's why you have some of these mega churches with 30,000 people sitting there. Because the preacher usually tells them what they want to hear. Never bring them to the cross. The Lord Jesus had 12 disciples initially following him. Many of the people who initially started to follow him, when they heard the message on the bread of life, they turned aside, they went away to follow him no more. They didn't like what they heard, you see. Performing the miracle of using the bread and using the fish and being able to multiply that bread to create bread to feed 15, 20,000 people, that was great. But when he said to them, I am the bread of life, you've got to eat me, you've got to trust me, you've got to feed upon me, they didn't want to hear that. And so they turned away. So you get people today, like foxes, they're crafty, they're devious, they show no mercy, they're cruel, they poison the soul, deceive the mind, and they speak damnable heresies, and they destroy the souls of men and women. The fox works undercover in the darkness. And I think this points us to a very important truth. They sleep during the daytime, and this surely teaches us the fact that wicked opponents of the gospel love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And the foxes also mimic the bark of a dog to deceive livestock into thinking that all is well, and then the unsuspecting livestock fall prey to the fox, because the fox is crafty. It works in the night time. It's cruel, it's evil. And there are many men today who craftily put their words together to deceive. And Peter speaks of feigned words in 2 Peter 2 verse 3. But I also think that the foxes speak of our own sins, the sins of our own hearts. This parallel may be noted from certain facets of the fox's nature. Foxes have holes. They have lairs where they hide. And they lurk there unseen, and they're difficult to dislodge. Think about the sins that are deeply lodging in our hearts today. Those things that grieve the Lord, they're hard to get rid of. Now in the vineyard of the eastern lands, foxes dug their burrows around the perimeter and then crept out at night to spoil the vines. This is a picture of the corruption that lurks in these hearts of ours, and they hide there. And this is why we need the Lord to come to search us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Deal with these things that lurk in the innermost recesses of my heart. Things that must offend Almighty God, the things that grieve the Spirit of God. We have these all pictured in the fox, in the nature of the fox, in the cruelty of the fox, in the wickedness of the fox. And we need God and His grace to deal with us. Oh, how we need His mercy, how we need His grace. We go astray so quickly. We fall so quickly. Lord, help me, help us. Help us to grow, help us to confess our sins. Help us to get rid of these things. We can't deal with this in our own strength. It's not in our nature to do this. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help us. So here we have this serious danger that is exposed. These little foxes can come in and create great damage. They can do great harm to the church of God. They can do great harm to the cause of Christ. They can do great harm to the individual believer. How the devil has gotten in to churches over the years. Gotten into individuals, into families. Ephesians 4:22 talks about the old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The deceitfulness of sin is especially pointed to under the term the little foxes. Sin can move so stealthily and subtly in our hearts and lives. Sin tries to present itself as not being really bad. It's just a little white lie, you know. It's just like the little fox. What damage can a little fox do? The little fox can come in and destroy the tender vines, with the result that it may be difficult for that vine to produce fruit in the days to come. Think about the sins of the tongue. They appear very small, but according to James, they create a great forest fire. A little spark can create a whole forest fire. The sins of the tongue may appear to be small, but they can lead to great damage. Remember Samson? Remember, he gathered up the foxes, he tied their tails together, he set them on fire. What did he do then? He sent them into the fields of the Philistines. And that didn't go down too well. It destroyed the harvest of the Philistines. They were enraged. And then revenge time came when the Philistines eventually tricked Samson. The little foxes came in, you see. He had to reap what he had sown. They put out his eyes. They sent him to work as a slave. They made a mockery of him. And furthermore, they made a mockery of Samson's God, the man who had shown great strength, public enemy number one as far as they were concerned. This man who knew great power to do great exploits for God. Now he's grinding in the grinding house. His sight is gone. His power is gone. And then mercifully, according to the grace of God, the hair began to grow again. The Philistines paid no attention to it. And then when it came to the time for the great banquet, they said, bring Samson, we'll have some fun at the expense of the man of God. And the little lad led him in. The Lord was about to do a great thing. The little lad led him in. And he said, son, put my hands on the pillars of this building. This great man puts his hands out. He touches the pillars and he prays. He didn't pray very often, by the way. Give me strength. Just one more time. So we see him. There's the shape of the cross. Power is restored by the cross of Christ. So here he is. He's praying for grace. He's praying for strength. Suddenly there's a movement. He's got his power back. He will soon be dead. Give me power one more time, Lord, to destroy thine enemies. And then suddenly that whole building came down on the enemies of the Lord's people. And here in spiritual form we can see Christ, the one who was despised of men, the lowly Nazarene, the one who came to a manger, not to a palace. He's on the cross. We'll have some fun. We'll sport a while with him. There he's impaled on the cross and he's praying. And then he cries, "It's finished." And the building caved in on the enemies of the gospel. And Christ triumphed. It was a triumph for the people of God in Samson's time. And when Christ died on the cross, it was a triumph for the people of God in every age. The Old Testament saints, they look forward with anticipation to Calvary. We look back with great joy to Calvary, and we rejoice in that great central theme of redemption, the cross of Christ, and redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins through his atoning work. The work's done, it's finished. It's done. And that's where we have our strength today. That's where we draw our strength from Christ who died an atoning death. And so the foxes may come. The persecution may be there. The enemies of the gospel align themselves against us. We are a feeble band, a little flock, as Jesus describes the church in Luke chapter 12, I think it is. But thank God we have got the walls of protection. We're his vineyard. He's the vine. We are his branches, the branches in him. And nothing can prevent a harvest by his grace, through his blood, through his cross. This is the answer to the foxes. This is the answer to those who would destroy us and destroy the church. It's the cross. It's the Christ of the cross. There's one who has been worshipped in glory now at God's right hand. And the great angel choirs are singing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." He's in the midst of a throne. He's in control of all things. He's the sovereign upon his throne. Nothing can frustrate the purposes of God. His will is perfect. His will has been outworked today in time. And when the last trump shall sound and the King comes again in glory, it will be according to the plan of God, planned in eternity, and it will have worked out according to that divine purpose and plan. Nothing can frustrate that plan. The King's coming. He will put down every enemy. He will put down every persecutor. He will reward them for what they have done against him and his church. And he will vindicate his people and exonerate his church. So a better day is coming. Hallelujah. For we will be free from sin and free from persecution. And we will behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. We'll see the Lamb one day in all of his fullness and all of his glory and tell the story saved by grace and saved by grace alone. So this is the answer to the little foxes who come. Sin is crookedness because it distorts the ways of God. It's a twisting of the standards of God's law. Thus, how appropriate is the figure of the fox as a description of evil men and sin and the enemies of the gospel who aim to spoil the vines, corrupt the churches, and cause the church of Christ to fail. And then finally, the spiritual determination that is expected. Now, if the verse talks here about the tender grapes, for our vines have tender grapes. So on the vines, in the Lord's work and among the Lord's people, there are tender grapes. And I think maybe they can refer maybe to our many failures and infirmities, among other things, which are susceptible to the ravages of the enemy. The tender grapes are not really fully mature. They are in the early stages of development. And this reminds us that among the Lord's people, there is much spiritual immaturity. Is that applicable to anyone gathered here in the house of God? Spiritual immaturity. The tender grapes of lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, maybe a weak faith. The Lord spoke to his disciples about little faith. Those who were close to him. "Oh, you have little faith," he said. But then, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we will be able to say to this mountain, "Be thou removed into the midst of the sea, and it shall be done." Oh, that God would even give us little faith. But may the prayer always be, "Lord, increase our faith." And remember, on one or two occasions, the Lord commended individuals for having great faith. It's a very rare thing, you see. Oh, that we may have faith. May our faith grow. May we be strengthened in the inner man by the grace of God. These tender grapes are not fully mature. And there may be someone here today and you're struggling with immaturity spiritually. Pray to this end. that God would strengthen your faith and make you strong in the Lord. Now, spiritual fruit takes time to develop and mature, and sometimes it can be a very slow process. Thus, how strenuously the foxes of evil men and sin will seek to take advantage of the weak spiritual state of many. I think about Ephesians 4 verse 14. It talks about spiritual immature believers who are easily tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That simply means various teachings or doctrine. Now, one recently saved by the grace of God is still in the tender grape stage. And what a dangerous stage that is. How much damage the foxes can do in such a case. I think about the fox of pride, and I can mention other illustrations as well. But remember what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, and he spoke of a novice. And that literally means one newly planted. We're talking about the vine and the tender branches and so on. So here we have something that fits really into the story that we're talking about today. A novice, one newly planted. There's a danger of pride even in the heart of that individual, one who is given authority prematurely. And that's why when Paul is discussing the matter of the eldership and so on, don't appoint a novice, someone who's newly planted, because that can cause that individual to be filled with pride, and that's not the kind of person you want to appoint to the office in the church. And these are the little foxes, you see, it can creep in. The fox of pride, fox of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge spiritually, spiritual immaturity. The young of the congregation are the tender grapes. And it's up to the parents in every congregation when they have children to make sure that they're nurtured in the things of God. Teach them the scriptures, the stories from the Bible, pray with them, get to them good reading material from their early times, get them to know the Word of God, the books of the Bible, the well-known verses of the Bible, teach them the catechism, get them to know the great doctrines of the faith, and safeguard them early in life. For it's a wicked jungle out there. When the children go to day school, when they go to college and so on, they go out into society, they need to have a good grounding in the things of God while they're still young. They're the tender grapes in the vine, if you like. Get them under the means of grace. The word spoil that is used here in verse 15 is an interesting word. It means to destroy. It means to deal corruptly. And parents are ever to be alert to the evil influences seeking to corrupt and destroy the little ones. There was a time in this country when children were sent along to Sunday school and the church. That seems to be no longer the case. You know, if you've been speaking to young people, even teenagers, they have some idea about lessons from Sunday school and who Jesus Christ is and so on. But no longer. Christ is kept out of the schools. What has that been replaced with? Young people bringing in guns, shooting their fellow students, drugs, immorality, crime. So you put Jesus Christ out, and then you open the door for all this violence to come in. But the leaders can't see this, you see. Such is their hatred of the things of God, they will not bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. So they keep Christ out. And that's really what has happened here in the States and in Great Britain. They have put Christ out, and then we read of these terrible atrocities, these murders, things that are happening in colleges, death, murder, that's reaping what we're sowing. And the advice that is given here, the spiritual determination that is needed, take us, the foxes. And that word take us means to grasp or to catch or to apprehend. So these are the little foxes that are coming to destroy the fruit. So what is the advice that is given here? You've got to catch them. You've got to take hold of them. You've got to get rid of them. So the advice is, let us catch the foxes. And it highlights the need to be guarding ourselves against these things. Now, foxes are to be dealt with by hunting them and by taking them in traps. And that's what's been taught here. Take hold of them. Apprehend them. Evil men need to be taken by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the word. And then even in the church, there needs to be the exercise of church discipline when people do step out of line. And this goes back to what I was teaching in the Bible class this morning about the oversight of the church. There is the structure in the church, the appointment of elders and deacons. And the elders are the spiritual overseers in the church. So when those who are a membership of the church step out of line, they've got to be brought back into line lovingly by correction imposed by the session of the church according to the teaching of the word. So in that way you lay hold upon the foxes that would destroy the testimony of the church and deal with them in grace. Remember how Samson caught the foxes in great numbers, Judges 15. He tied their tails together, ignited them, and they lost them into the fields of the Philistines. And if we would walk and fellowship with Christ, we need to take hold of the little foxes that spoil the vines to deal with these things. Now, why did God place the family of Jacob in Goshen when they left the land of promise to go down into the land of Egypt? So that they wouldn't learn the ways of the Egyptians. When the Lord brought his people out of Egypt and brought them into the land of Canaan, why did the Lord tell the leader of God's people to deal with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan so they wouldn't learn their ways? Unfortunately, they didn't destroy them all as God appointed them, and they learned the ways of the heathen, and that created many, many problems for the people of God. Why does Paul in the Bible teach us to deal with the flesh? Because it's only as we die to self and apply the sword to the flesh, the sword of the word, it's only then that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the works, plural, of the flesh, and the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And it's only when we take the sword of the word of God and apply it to the flesh, then that we can go on to produce the fruit of the Spirit as Christ initially intended his people to do for the glory of God. So you have these three simple things. The significant description that is used, the vine and the branches, the serious danger that is exposed, the little foxes who destroy the vines, and then you have the spiritual determination that is expected. Lay hold upon these things. Deal with them. Deal with them or they will destroy you. That's the message. We'll bow for prayer.